The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
An SEC champion has proven, again, that you can choose success. There's a bigger picture for that champion as well. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. All week, all year, it's all college football. This is a college football topic, I promise you. Did y'all watch any college baseball over the weekend? East Carolina, the Pirates. Good program, good team. They got dropped into a wood chipper. It is a best of three, and Vanderbilt's like, yeah, no. We're good in two. I don't follow college baseball very much. You know when I always start following college baseball? Last weekend. Because I will wager on sports, and I'm going to tell you, I have a history. I don't watch a single or even read about college baseball until usually. Now, this year, it's a couple of weeks or about 3 weeks past the normal calendar. But usually around middle or end of May when all the super regionals are going, I check out who's going to advance to Omaha, the field of eight that is going to Omaha, and then I put my money down. Didn't watch a game all year. USA Today used to have the best College World Series preview. Do you know what it was? It was like this big, like, two-page pull-out, fold-out section. And I would go to the food court. I would sit at Sbarro. I did the same thing every year. And I'd spend about 3 hours going over the team capsules. And then I would place a bet on the team that had the two best arms. That's it. When I was a little guy. I was in maybe middle school. And I watched the Texas Longhorns with Roger Clemens and Calvin Schiraldi. And, I mean, they just chewed up folks. I was like, wow, well, college baseball. So here's what happens. You might have like a midweek series or a game or a two-game series. But then the college baseball is Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And you've got your Friday night pitcher. And that's your A guy. And then you've got, if you have a Saturday guy, all right, let's talk. If you have a Friday night guy and a Saturday guy like Vanderbilt has, Kumar Rocker, son of Tracy Rocker, Lombardi or Outland or both, Dan, winner at Auburn, and a very nice man, by the way. I was only a student at Auburn. He was a superstar football player. But I interviewed him a couple of times when I was working for the station there and whatever. So just really nice guy.
You are correct.
Both?
Both, Outland and Lombardi, as well as a consensus All-American in 88.
Yeah, he was a monster. Number 74, defensive tackle. I believe he was a draft pick of the Redskins. Played some. Never had really a career in the NFL, but he's been coaching, and he's really good and known for recruiting and blah, blah, blah. So that's Tracy Rocker. Just, again, a really, really nice man. And his son, Kumar. Dan, you follow college baseball, correct?
Very much.
All right. You know, I talk all the time in football that you can be a really great Saturday player, and that's all I care about. But so much of what we think about a kid gets recolored later by if he was good in the NFL or not. Is Kumar considered as great a prospect as he is a college player?
Oh, incredibly. Pitchers usually more than hitters, because with hitters, now it's a little better with the bats being tuned back a little bit, because it was very deceiving. See Marshall McDougal, for example, at Florida State years ago, 6 home runs. And then once you put a wooden bat in his hand, it wasn't the same story. That's starting to change a little bit. Pitchers, you could always kind of change. good arm, spots it up, gets out.
So he could be a 1-1, maybe?
Oh, very much, absolutely.
Okay, so Kumar Rocker could be a 1-1, and that means first overall pick, first pick, first round. You're a 1-1. Or he's a 1-4, or he's a 1-9, or he's a 2-17. I don't know what he is. But what Kumar Rocker would do, because he pitched Friday night, and then who is it? Jack Leiter pitched on Saturday. And they absolutely tore up a really good East Carolina team, and they did it the way you do in college baseball. Who are your two best arms? Kumar Rocker, son of Tracy Rocker, and Jack Leiter, son of Al Leiter, not Mark. That's Vanderbilt's Friday night, Saturday pitcher. They threw 14 and a third inning, struck out 21, gave up 5 hits, and allowed 1 run. Quote from Jack Leiter, who was an elite prospect who could have gone anywhere. This is why you come to Vanderbilt, for moments like this. It's not every day you hear an athlete saying that. But you do in baseball. This is why you come to Vanderbilt for moments like this. Jack Leiter, he's going to be a Major League Baseball draft pick. And I don't know, maybe he's a 10th overall pick. Maybe he's a 5th rounder. I have no idea, but I know he's going to get drafted because he's the second best pitcher on a team that won the College World Series last year. They won it again like 5 years ago. And I don't know. I mean, based on me, who I just told you, I don't watch baseball at all until like last weekend. Super Regionals, all right, who's going? And then I take money out of my wallet and bet on a sport I didn't watch the entire season. Because in baseball, you got the two best arms, you can win. And elite prospects who can go anywhere overwhelmingly choose to go to Vanderbilt. David Price, Mike Minor, Pedro Alvarez, Dansby Swanson. They got some 1-1s. They got multiple 1-1s. Okay, then go get me some football players too, Vanderbilt. And Duke and Kansas talking the same with you regarding what you do in hoops. What do Duke basketball and Kansas basketball do in hoop recruiting? They get the most elite shortlist recruits on the planet in basketball. Well, what about that 5-star D tackle from Greensboro, about 40 miles from campus? Yeah, he's going to Clemson. And that's real, by the way. His kid's name's Travis Shaw. And he was never going to attend Duke. No way, no how, not ever. Unless Travis Shaw, instead of being a defensive tackle who plays at Grimsley High School, he's 6'5", 310 pounds. Because Travis Shaw popped out of the womb and wound up 17 years later 6'5", 310, he's going to Clemson. If Travis Shaw was 6'10", 250, he'd be going to Duke. I mean, just the physical dimensions changes what the experience is. It's amazing. You can get not just the best athlete if you're Coach K or you're whoever, Bill Self now at Kansas, Roy before. It goes back, I mean, Fog Allen. Wilt, we would like you to come to Kansas, young man. Kansas, I just went back to Wilt Chamberlain, who I'm going to guess, and I'm going to get that, Dan. Wilt Chamberlain was a freshman at Kansas, I'm going to say in 1954. I'm just going to guess, 54. So going back now 70 years, whoever, well, that was Bill Self, of course, that was Roy. No, it's every coach at Kansas for longer than you've been alive. He was a freshman in 56. So going back, I'm sorry, only 65 years that I can document off the top of my head, and I don't even care about Kansas basketball, and I'm giving you a recruit that got 65 years ago. And then 64 years ago, and then 63 years ago, and then every year, because Kansas cares about basketball and chooses to succeed. You can't choose a national championship. You can't. You can choose to succeed. You can choose to give yourself a chance once teams get chosen. You can choose that. Vanderbilt hasn't chosen success in football. Duke hasn't chosen success, not real success, in football. Duke, honestly, David Cutcliffe may be owed more by his athletic department than any coach in America, because you talk about maxing out what that 100% is based on what the university and the athletic department is choosing. If there's a five-star power forward in Gastonia or Belgium, Coach K may get him. If there's a five-star quarterback who grows up in the shadow of the stadium, I say shadow because it's open-ended and so it only kind of casts one way. He's not going there. Education, darn right the education. You know where I went? And by the way, love my school. That's four loves. Love my school. Give money to my school some. Support my school a lot. I went to a really good giant state public university. Duke is probably one of the 5 or 10 or 20 most elite educations you can get on the planet. That's not why Grant Hill went. That's not why Christian Laettner went. Because if Grant Hill played wide receiver instead, like LeBron James, he's talked about playing tight end, right? Well, if he played basketball, like I said, if Travis Shaw just grew taller and leaner, he would have gone to Duke. LeBron James could have been LeBron James and gone to Duke, unless he played football, and then he'd gone to Florida State. Same kid. Don't even need some sort of physical transformation, because you have chosen that that is a priority that you will invest in. And how do you get those elite kids? Who do you send to the pros? That's it. It used to be much more of a gumbo, much more of a math equation of heritage and history and prestige and bowl games and winning and NFL and whatever and playing time and my dad went here. You now have, it's blatant. Who you put in the league at my position? You prioritize it. You can choose not championships, but in the case of certainly Vanderbilt football, Duke football, Kansas football, you've proven you're a championship athletic department. You can be a lot better at football.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Most changes have been relatively small. And, you know, with the potential of what's been proposed, it could change. Probably the greatest change there has been in terms of, you know, major college football.
That's Kirby Smart, you could figure that one probably. Well, who's he talking to? SEC Network, Marty McGee. And he's right. I will do some math for you, though. If you were getting 1 of 4, you'll get 3 of 12. Might get more. There is no cap. There is no guarantee. There is no cap. Means that conference champ with 4 losses, guess what? You're out. So Kirby Smart again talking about playoff expansion, and the math I would say will at least hold. In fact, math probably will hold. What was the SEC every single year in the playoffs? 1, and the best conference to consider for 2. The most likely conference to wind up with 2. That's what they always were when it was a 4-team playoff. 12-team playoff, there'll be 3, and the most likely conference to get 4. If that ever happens, and who knows if even the reports are correct that there is no cap on number of teams, that maybe there be mechanisms that maybe don't spell it out that way but make it a lot less likely that that happens. So, anyway, Kirby Smart with an accurate statement about what playoff expansion. This is not a minor adjustment, okay? This is not just a slight shift in how we're doing things. Dan, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. And, you know, I'm going to take a conversation that I had off air with somebody that – I think would apply to what you were just talking about right there with the man that would be part of this conversation. And Kirby Smart in Georgia, it has been just a constant question of when's it going to get done? What else do you need in order to win a national title? And the person brought up to me is they said, well, you know, you put in the hypothetical from 2014, which ESPN did, by the way. That's how this conversation got started. I don't want to not give credit where credit is due. But they pointed out that Kirby and Jim Harbaugh's narrative would be a lot different around people if they were in this 12-team playoff, going back to that point. And I said, I don't necessarily believe so, because I think there is such a thing as calibrating the expectations and going from there. And the other part of it as well, Chuck, is even with them getting into this 12-team playoff, their problems still remain the same. Kirby can't beat Nick. He can't beat Alabama. And Jim Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State. So those are still problems for you. You're still not winning your conference because you can't beat said teams. Those problems don't go away. I think if anything, Chuck, it gets to the point where the problems even increase for them if they get to that point, because then it's everybody saying, what else do you need now? You're making the tournament. You're getting in. You get the opportunity. Chuck, I'm even going to go as far as to say that I think this increased teams getting into the college football playoff, for some, it's going to be the Mark Richt effect. It's going to be getting into the college football playoff, not winning in the college football playoff, and then finally the boosters and the board of trustees and everybody looking around saying, we've given them everything they need. They're part of the final 12 every single season. They're not getting it done. It's got to be the man that is leading the program, and that precipitates a change to be made and for us to be able to go forward as a program in order to win said national championship. It truly is a real thing in college football that the expectations seriously calibrate whatever level and whatever checkpoint you meet in your career in order to show your fan base, hey, this is attainable. And once it's attainable, you can't go back. If you go back for long, you better take 2 steps forward. In the case of Georgia making the college football playoff, yeah, they would be in there. For Michigan, yeah, they would be in there. But see Clemson as a school who was able to shake what were the demons of their past, and now are you telling me that if Dabo starts doing that, losing to Florida State, starts losing to South Carolina again, and starts to have the Clemsoning moniker come back, that he wouldn't all of a sudden have people saying, Dabo, what gives?
It is an achievement, and it will be an achievement beginning, I believe, in 3 years, when the first 5-seed, 6-seed, 12-seed, it's an achievement for every one of those teams. 5 through 12 who make the college football playoff field that first year and every year after. It is absolutely an achievement. In sports, we do a real good job of coming up with new ways for you to have an achievement. Instead of being top 20, top 25. Instead of 14 bowls, there were 20 and now 42. Instead of 2 playoff teams, there were 4. Now there's, we keep coming up with ways for you to achieve, even though it's not actually any different. I'm a tournament team in basketball. Really? I've heard that from like 60 other guys. I thought there were only 40. Oh, no, it used to be 48, and then it was 54, and then it was 60. Now it's 68. We do give a lot more opportunities now.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dealing it out, 9 states, 51 sticks. Appreciate everybody putting that blessing in my life. All of us have talked about, now that it's June of 21 instead of June a year ago, the big difference, the first, you know, normal spring. Yeah, spring didn't have spring practice, didn't have spring practice. Well, that's true. In 2020, almost everybody didn't have spring practice. And if you had practices, maybe you had nine like Clemson, which nine, people are like, oh. But you didn't have spring practice. That's, folks, that was only like one out of like 10 really important things you didn't have. I was trying to learn how to hook up broadcasting equipment over Zoom from my house a year and however many months ago on Zoom. I'm a college graduate, and I'm smarter than the average bear, I'll even say. Over Zoom, it was hard for me to figure out how to hook up broadcast equipment. Found out later, like, basically each cord only goes in one place. Can you imagine trying to learn a new offense over Zoom? It wasn't just we didn't have spring practice. Strength coaches didn't have a chance to work with kids. Coordinators who may have been new to a campus. You were trying to do stuff over an iPad from like miles and miles away. It was more than just we didn't get 14 practices and a spring game. And about nobody needed some in-person more than Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles. Want to welcome on now. Good friend of the program, managing editor of warchant.com. It is Ira Schoffel. Ira, brother, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Pick up on that theme a little bit, because especially in any scenario, even if you got a returning quarterback and returning coach, Zoom wasn't good for installs. With Mike Norvell, well, it was a complete breakdown and rebuild of everything. It was more than just we didn't get on the practice field.
Yeah, it really was. And that's why, you know, I think a lot of people want to consider this year one and last year year zero for Mike Norvell. And I think there, you know, some people will say, okay, some first-year coaches had some success. You look at, you know, Jeff Hafley at Boston College had a nice year. Some first-year coaches, were able to navigate it. But I think every team's got a different situation. FSU, their situation was compounded by the fact that they had been coming off of, that was, you know, four coordinators in 4 years, four quarterbacks coaches in 4 years, the third new head coach, the third head coach in about 4 years. And so you combine all of those things and implementing new systems and players who signed with not just the last coach, but the coach before the last coach. All of those things added up to, you know, what was a really disappointing year for Mike Norvell and Florida State football. But I don't know that you can use that as an indicator of what they're going to be in the future.
And along those exact lines, what you were just saying, I'm going to tell you what I saw last year on the field, at least. I mean, good, bad, dead or buried, win or lose, Florida State ran the ball pretty well last year. And, you know, I always talk about a program that's trying to bounce back. I'm like, what's that corner you're going to fight out of? What's that one good thing you do? And Florida State could run the ball. And they have a lot of talent in that running back room. In fact, more, I think, maybe they had last year. Just talk about the prospects for, in a real season, Florida State to replicate the production they got on the ground last year.
They did. They did run it really well, especially when Jordan Travis was in the game. And he gives you, when he's a quarterback, he gives you that other guy that the defense has to account for, and you can't, you probably can't quantify that. I mean, the running backs, their lives are easier. The offensive linemen's lives is easier. You know, that's going to be what's interesting to see what happens this season is if Jordan Travis is the guy, then you still have that dynamic. If Mackenzie Milton wins the job, and Jordan Travis maybe becomes a guy who plays some quarterback and some other positions, which is something, you know, a lot of fans would like to see. You know, you lose a little bit of that dynamic. Mackenzie Milton is mobile, but nothing like Jordan Travis. And so, you know, there will be a big emphasis on these other running backs. As you said, I mean, Jayshon Corbin, the former Texas A&M running back, is a nice running back. But the big deal, I think the guy who could be, if he can stay healthy, the guy that could be a really dynamic running back for them is Lawrence Toffoli, who was a freshman last year, was averaged over 9 yards a carry. The only problem was he only played in about 3 or 4 games. If he can stay healthy, he's put on some weight and size, that's going to be a big deal for them because you're right. I mean, Mike Norvell's going to rely on the running game, and they've got some nice backs.
All right, I have an opinion, and this is just, you know, I'm talking from a coaching, a sporting sense. There are a lot of places where coaches just hate freshmen. And Jimbo had, you know, that same for certain positions and all. But I'm looking at so many different – I made little notes when I talked to folks throughout the spring about, hey, who's going to emerge here? And I kept noticing that a lot of folks who cover Florida State kept going to Malik McClain faster than I was expecting at wide receiver. I was asking, all right, well, who may be the emerging guy? Who may be the go-to? Who may, you know, have a surprise great season? And a freshman receiver, that was really higher up the list than maybe I was expecting at a place like Florida State, but I get it.
Well, hey, especially because if you look at Mike Norvell's offenses, freshman receivers have not done really well. I mean, even the guys that have big numbers that end up having great careers at Memphis were not anything special as freshmen. The situation with Malik McClain, where it may be different, is he did come in the spring, so he got that full spring. They were thin at wide receiver. They still don't have a lot of proven guys at wide receiver, and he looks like a guy that can play the position. You know, it's always interesting in spring practice. People get excited sometimes when receivers have big springs, but then you have to look at who they're going up against. And the thing about Malik McClain was, as they moved him up the depth chart, the first scrimmage, he's gone up against the second and third teamers. By the end of the spring, he was going up against the better DBs that Florida State has and was still being very productive. He had a really nice spring game. He's a long, athletic kid that can run. He can really run by you, but he's also got enough size and physicality that he can play inside. So, yeah, I think he's going to have to be a big part of their offense this year, particularly because they don't have a lot of proven wide receivers. But at the same time, history suggests in Mike Norvell's offense, wide receivers are not going to be guys that catch 40, 50, 60 balls.
How has the return of on-campus recruiting gone so far?
Man, it's been wide open. And I'm sure it's the same way on every campus, but this is unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, they have – not only the official visits have already ramped up, which, you know, that's been coming now, and with the early signing period, more and more you're getting the summer official visits. But just the day in, day out, having guys come through campus morning, noon, and night from all over the country, it's like that faucet turned on, and Florida State is inviting all comers. And so it has been it's just been a whirlwind. I mean, they're having – some days they may have, you know, 15, 20, 25 legitimate prospects on campus. Some days it's, oh, okay, there's only 3 4 stars and a 5-star. I mean, it's really remarkable. Now they haven't landed any of them, and it's I think every kids everywhere are trying to get out and see as many schools as they can during the month of June. But at least they're getting those kids to visit, which is a big first step for that program.
I got a buddy of mine down at Miami, and I asked him the same thing. Actually, just after the first weekend, and he said, it's like being on a cruise ship, like eating. He's like, we have a 12 o'clock seating, a 4 o'clock, a 6 o'clock. He's like, we're turning tables, man. He's like, it's like a restaurant. We've got kids coming in, I mean, every 2-3 hours. So when it goes over a year, people are ready to get it going again. Ira, I appreciate your input, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Take care.
All right, warchant.com, again, managing editor there. And here's something about the Florida State schedule. It does not break. Even by brand, when you look at the FSU schedule, the brand doesn't hold. Because you know what the brand of Florida State is? See, that's the first thing, is it's a talented roster that it's kind of like a go Google your computer and look up, like, I don't know, 1981 Corvette. I bet it had 220 horsepower. So it looked right, but it just wasn't. Wait a minute. This is a Stingray? Florida State, it's a talented roster. 81 Corvette, still a good car. Just not what you're really expecting by something that looks that way. So you understand what I'm saying about the brand can dip. I mean, excuse me, the brand can be better than what the actual product can dip below what, you know, oh, I know what that is. Oh, it's not as good. Well, it can go the other way, too. You have the brand of Wake Forest. You know what the actual football is? Better. The brand of Louisville football is pretty good. The actual football this year is better. So if you just look at the brand, the heritage of the names, it doesn't let you really know what the schedule for Florida State is this year. Opens with Notre Dame. Well, that's both ends of it. That's the marketing, the reality, the perception, the close your eyes. Who do you think of in college football? Notre Dame. They're good and well-coached, and it's at home, whatever. So Notre Dame, and that's that Labor Day night game, yeah. I think, or it's the Sunday night game. It's the Sunday night game, yeah. Oh, is it Labor Day? Dan, you're killing me.
It's Sunday.
So Jacksonville State is the next week. All right, well, the Gamecocks are easier to beat than the Irish, and Florida State will win that game. So 1-1. And then it's Wake Forest and Louisville and Syracuse. Well, that's three. No, it's at Wake Forest. You could lose that game. Home against Louisville, you could lose that game. Could. Syracuse, you're not losing to Syracuse. So you get the predicted win. At North Carolina is next week. So when you finally get to something in your own weight class, I'm not talking Jacksonville State, you get to Syracuse October 2nd, that's a dub. Syracuse is hard, especially on the lines of scrimmage, which a Florida State fan's like, yeah, I don't want to hear it. So you get that, a get-right scenario, a feel-good Saturday at North Carolina. Then we get a feel-good scenario, UMass, at home, Clemson. That's how it is, man. The entire schedule. Notre Dame, Jacksonville State, at Wake Forest, Louisville. That's your opening month. Syracuse at North Carolina. UMass at Clemson. See a pattern here? And then it just gets just straight difficult. NC State, Miami, at BC, at Florida. And again, I just said a Florida State fan is like, I don't want to hear about your problems on the offensive line. Florida State fan also does not want to hear this. You're going to be better. I don't know if you can tell with the record. You're going to be a better product. And the out for me to be wrong about just how difficult at Wake Forest is or hosting Louisville, the way for me to be wrong about that is the grown men you've imported, they can make a difference. It was, I'll be honest, it was easy to show Florida State around on defense. Been easy, and it wasn't supposed to be easy. And it was. So there is the out. The potential that in the trenches you're better. But you look week to week, and every time you think maybe there's a little momentum, and all right, exhale, oh, Clemson, or NC State, or Boston College, or the Gators. You'll be better. In fact, you are better. In fact, I'm telling you, I believe in December. No, right now, there are players running 40s on their own right now, and somebody's got a bag of balls, and they're throwing routes, and somebody's lifting. Everybody, you're better right now. If you had a game in 30 minutes, you'd be better than you were at the end of the season. Promise you. I don't know if we're going to be able to tell by looking at the win-loss record.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We continue with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. I hope you are entertained. I hope you're enjoying yourself and have for the last 49 minutes. We'll continue it for another hour 11 on this wonderful Monday. Appreciate Ira Schoffel coming on. Warchant.com does a great job covering those Noles. There's talent. I'm needing the outcome. I always say it's my measuring stick. Does the outcome at least equal the talent? Because if it doesn't, you got issues, whether it's leadership or selfishness, which is leadership, coaching, maybe just bad injuries, whatever. But we continue on this Monday. Got some great immediate news for Josh Heupel in Tennessee. It comes with a very tough big picture commentary, I believe. Tennessee now has its first commitment to the 2022 class. That is three-star running back Dylan Sampson. Not the biggest recruit, but big enough, 5'10", 180. And Dylan Sampson, three-star running back, is committed to the Tennessee Vols. So good for him. I guess comes over the weekend. And that gives the Vols their initial commit for this December into next February. And I'm wondering if coverage of the commitments to follow will include similar to what I read at the bottom of the story with Dylan Sampson, three-star running back. I saw this at ESPN. I saw this at 24/7. I saw it at LandryFootball.com. I saw it three different places. Three places. There was the following reference, some version of it. Now, again, we're talking about a three-star running back committed to Tennessee. Sampson was also offered by Indiana, Louisville, Cal, Arkansas, and South Carolina. I did Arena League games for 8 years. This is what the Orlando Predators and Dallas Desperados would do in their player bios. Nothing was more important than Steve was in training camp with Miami in 2006 and made it to the final cut. He was later added to the Carolina practice squad. Any sort of association, any sort of commentary that somebody else thought you were good. If you go look at, and again, I invite you to do this. If you never watched Arena League football, you're okay. If you did watch Arena League football, you watched it again, and you were probably entertained. I've said before, in fact, I mentioned the Orlando Predators right there. Orlando and Tampa, the war on I-4. and you would go to either of those games, because I was the color analyst for the Georgia Force, which was the team that Arthur Blank owned, who owns the Falcons. He also owned the Arena League team. And I can tell it now. Do you know how you moved up the priority season ticket list when Michael Vick was the quarterback for the Falcons? You got an extra point by buying season tickets to the Georgia Force. Which is why we would have like 12,000 people at the season finale and 3,000 at the first playoff game, because the playoff tickets are not included with the season tickets. So I'm doing Arena League games, and I would do them for the Georgia Force, but also I'd do it for Comcast or other networks who would televise, hey, we need a color analyst. What game? Arizona and whoever. I was like, all right, I'll do it. You pay me, I'll talk. All right, I mean, that's pretty much, you give me a chance, I'll talk for you. So I would do some of those games as well. The Orlando-Tampa games are actually pretty big. In fact, I said the arena, particularly the one in Tampa, it was like a 19,000-seat strip club. I mean, it was just the most unhinged thing. They love some arena football down there because they went to it one time, and they're like, hey, this is kind of fun. What it wasn't was NFL football, though. But if you'll go look Arena League Chris Jackson stats. Chris Jackson was a wide receiver who had played at Washington State with Ryan Leaf. Do you know how I know that? Because every team Chris Jackson played for, his Arena League bio was, hey, he was in that Rose Bowl y'all watched. And then it would be Chris Jackson was in camp with the Dolphins and in camp with the Bears and signed an offseason contract with the Vikings but was released before camp started in August. The number one most important facts about literally every player in the Arena League, you'd look at their bios. What NFL team had given their commentary that, yes, we think this guy has some chance of NFL talent. And now he plays for the New Orleans Voodoo. That's absolutely what it was. UT is now a program where we have to be told, hey, this is a real good recruit. Other programs even offered him too. I can't have that be Tennessee. And that's not anything to do with Tennessee. Josh Heupel and the coaches, they don't even – I bet – I'm going to take that back. They know that he's a three-star recruit because you just got no – 20 years ago, what do you mean he's a three-star what, huh? Oh, is that how they rank recruits? There was a coach somewhere who didn't know that. Everybody knows it now. Even if you don't pay attention to it, and you certainly don't base your recruiting efforts by it often. I know for a fact there was a four-star running back taken by a coach who thought he was on his way out. He's like, this kid will never get in school. I need a recruiting win. Offered him. True loved him. Kid went there. Never played. I don't even know if he made it to like all the way through the semester. Anyway. So that happens sometimes. But Josh Heupel in Tennessee, where they are right now, they're gathering up ballplayers. And they may know that this kid, Dylan Sampson, is a three-star running back. They don't necessarily care that he's, quote, only a three-star. They don't care about that. They watched this kid play, and they thought, this is a kid we can get. This is a kid that is good enough to help us be better than we are now. That's the first. And we can get him. Because there's a five-star running back that's committed to, I don't know, Ohio State. And Josh Heupel and the staff looks at it and goes, yeah, we can't get him. But this three-star kid, we can get him. You know what I've never read in a story where Ohio State just got the five-star running back or Alabama got the five-star left tackle or LSU got the five-star DN? Do you know what I've never read? That LSU got a commitment from a five-star who was also offered by Arkansas and Texas A&M. Because LSU ain't in the association credibility business. LSU's in the we're LSU business. And it's the kind of thing where I say, like Alabama, I've said, Nick Saban offered him, good enough for me. What we are not saying right now, hey, Tennessee offered him, good enough for me. And it's been a really long time since that's been the case. we didn't know what to make of the Lane class, and it was the singular, the Lane class, the one class that we didn't know what to make of it. Because Tennessee, which had, they got players from outside the state borders, absolutely. It was immediately far-flung and from all kinds of people have been committed to other programs, a running back from Kansas, just, I mean, all of these places. We didn't know what to make of it. With Butch and Jeremy Pruitt, we sort of knew what to make of it. Josh Heupel, it's not, we don't, because we can make, we know what to make of a, you know, four stars, and hey, they even got a five star. We don't know what to make of a Tennessee program when one of the best things you can say about a recruit is that South Carolina offered him two.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.